Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities with Public Schools Unite Us initiative, and United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week, New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes. She's a Democrat and serves Buffalo's 141st Assembly District. Welcome back, Majority Leader Peoples Stokes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, David. It's my pleasure to be here. How are you faring over there without Alan?
Well, I'll tell you something. It's a big loss, and I want to thank you. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since about the incredible send-off you gave him in the legislature. And, you know, he will be very missed here and is missed here at WAMC. But with that kind of leadership, those of us that have followed know exactly what the mission of the station is and hope to continue to follow it to the delight of our listeners.
Awesome. Awesome. That's really great. I hope he's on the beach somewhere.
He is relaxing with his children and grandchildren. And it's well-deserved, well-deserved. Well,
yes.
Let's get to the news of the day. Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes, so many problems in our society. And, of course, we're in New York where the migrant situation and the influx of those migrants coming into New York City has caused problems throughout the state. Upstate, you have leadership trying to come together, although it's been difficult between New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams. You saw the two minority leaders of both houses, Will Barclay and Robert Ort, calling for a special session to deal with the migrant problem. For the Biden administration, their part, it really, a lot of this has to come from the federal level. They've, looks like, in one meeting, have decided to start working toward that effort of trying to solve the problem, but also heap some blame on the way New York City has rolled out the situation in dealing with the migrants. And then you have DocGo, the organization that's responsible for a lot of this, under a lot of criticism. Where's your head at right now, Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes, when it comes to migrants in upstate New York?
Well, you know what? I do understand what a problem is created. But, you know, I will just remind your listeners that we're New Yorkers, and we put more into the federal government than they ever return back to us. And here we are taking care of a problem that they should have fixed on their own. There should be a smooth stream to immigration process in this country. We always knew the other people would want to come here because, quite frankly, there is no one in this country now that wasn't originally here except the Native Americans and, of course, black people who were brought here just to build the economy. And so to now suggest that there's no pathway for other people who are coming from countries where they are being hurt, their families are being killed, they're losing so much, and they're struggling to get here because we've created that kind of economy that they feel they can thrive in. And honestly, I think that they can thrive here too, because we have a lot of employers who are looking for people to work. And quite frankly, these people are willing to work. So if the federal government would do what they should do, and that is, one, create a smooth immigration process, a smooth asylum process, and or without the absence of either one of those, at least allow these people to work, I think we'd be in a better position. On, you know, the minority leaders calling for a special session, I think that's all just a political grandstanding. They both know who has the ability to call a special session. And if they have not reached out to them and had conversations and built an argument on why they think it should be necessary, then they're just politicizing to their constituency to, I guess, in the short term, encourage people to be haters and support them in reelection bids. And I, quite honestly, don't see that as being a moral, humanitarian thing to do. Now, I will say this. New York State does not have the same legal status for accepting asylum seekers in the way that New York City does. And no one should try to make New York have that. New York City has its ability to make that decision for themselves. They did. They should not try to make that decision for all of New York State. Secondly, I will say this. If New Yorkers were any way like the Texans or the Floridians, whose government decided to put these people on buses and or planes, however they sent them here, and send them to New York, if we were any way like them, we would have sent them back to where they came from to Texas and Florida. But we didn't do that because we feel, I mean, I think that this is a humanitarian issue. It's not like these people are coming from comfortable homes where they're living a leisure lifestyle. They're living in fear. And a lot of people who are in this country over the decades came here because they were living in fear and they were looking for opportunity. Both of those things can be fixed if we work together as opposed to working in opposition, making everything about politics, about who's going to be elected and who's not going to be elected. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, we claim that we trust God. We trust in God. Well, this is not godly for you to send people back into a harmful environment that they know is harmful and you know is harmful. Let's try to figure out how to make their lives safe and secure. Mm-hmm. That's what we should be discussing, not ways to stop them from being here.
So then, would a special session be helpful? You mentioned the federal government. Obviously, they play a huge role in this. But in terms of humanitarianism, these people, many of them, and many of them are children, are suffering right now. Is there something a special session in New York can do to help that?
What would a special session do to help that? I mean, that's the question I would ask them. If it's about are they looking for resources for these governments to have additional resources to help them? I think that our budgetary structure is such that there are resources that they could use for that. The governor could make that decision. And by the way, she's already given $1 billion to New York City. That wasn't in our budget of last year, but it happened. And so I believe that there are ways that this can be fixed. If it's about money, let's just figure out how to fix it without necessarily doing a special session, because we're out of our budget process. So we want to change the budget structure in order to have a special session to get resources here. I don't think that that's necessary.
Well, one anecdotal remark I'll make. We're speaking with New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. I was looking at the post that the minority leaders put up about the special session, and down below on the comments section on social media, one person said, there's only one way to handle this, deport them. You know, so many people, we don't like to think about it in our country, subscribe to NIMBYism. Not in my backyard. You go away. I don't want you here.
Well, suppose someone had said that to their ancestors when they came here 50, 60 years ago. They wouldn't even be here. I mean, put yourself in the position that these people are. You're supposed to treat people like you want to be treated. You're not supposed to treat them any other way. And I just think it's cruel that people would think like that. And I said this earlier, and I'll repeat it. African Americans were brought here for one reason, and that's to build a U.S. economy. And we didn't even get paid during slavery, okay? In spite of what DeSantis thinks. There's no real benefit in that for us. But what we did do as a result of being enslaved is build the entire American economy. How dare we be a people who would not want to share that, even though we still haven't gotten our full due. But the people who have taken advantage of the full due on the backs of this kind of labor and still taken advantage of and still control the cold economy now wants to exclude other people, there's something wrong with that thought process. And I don't know how to help people fix that. All I know what to do is to say you have to treat people fairly. And I will say this. I think that the county executive probably should have reached out to local government electeds and had a conversation with him before he just said, okay, just send them to Erie County, because there are other governments here. Now, maybe they wouldn't have agreed with his position, or maybe they might have agreed with his position. Maybe they would have asked him for resources. You never know what they would have. But you got to have conversations. You just can't unilaterally decide to make moves in people's governments without their input. That I do think could have been done differently, much like I don't think the mayor of New York City should have just decided he's going to send people somewhere without having conversations with people before he did it. That would, I think, would have been fair. But to suggest that they have no place here and they need to be deported, it roused up that negative energy that is spewed all over social media on a regular basis. And quite frankly, it's the thing that gets people killed. So if you aren't able to deport people when you want to see them deported, the next thing you know, we'll have to worry about who's going to be trying to hurt these people. And all they're trying to do is find a safe place to live. And we're supposed to be a country of good neighbors. I mean, we're supposed to be a country that, you know, offers opportunity for people. That's not offering opportunity at all. So there are a lot of things that need to happen in order to solve this problem, but one of them is not deporting the people. That's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, well, and it makes me extend our conversation into another area, which is the environment. I've talked with other lawmakers about this, but the idea that when you see wildfires, you know, in Canada and Maui, Hawaii, you see massive floods, hurricanes intensifying more rapidly and at a greater frequency than they have before, playing into the idea that this climate change is happening. Well, I guess enough so that we can all see it now very clearly. The scientists tell us that will create more migration problems. There'll be more people trying to migrate to areas of the world that are safer in terms of the climate. And that could mean very well right here in the Northeast and in New York. So don't we have to continue to plan for more people to arrive here and how we're going to provide them with jobs and opportunity?
I do think we have to plan. I mean, first of all, the vast majority of us have to acknowledge that climate change is a problem. We still have people in denial. You might remember, and by the way, the Buffalo News did a splendid editorial on this today, how when DeSantis was in Congress, he voted no against the federal government sending money to New York to help out with Sandy. Sandy was real. That impacted people's lives in a horrible way. And now, because of the hurricanes in Florida, he's asking for federal money. He wants to have something that he didn't want us to have. And that's not good governance. And so we got to get people out of the denial stages in order for us to move forward. We cannot make everything about politics. This is about people's lives, people's livelihoods, their investments. And we have to start thinking about it like that.
Well, and how about your response to your Republican colleagues? Democrats forced unrealistic climate policies on New York and ignored the elephant in the room, affordability, and they cite new cost estimates higher than expected from the New York State Comptroller, a Democrat. But isn't the elephant in the room, if we don't do something to mitigate climate change, we won't have a place to work and live?
And I wonder what they'll be running for then. What will be the election strategy then to divide us? I guess they'll have to come up with a new one. We do have to do something about our environment. I mean, I, in some ways, feel a little reluctant myself because you get so used to these conveniences that you enjoyed for so long. But when you also understand its negative impact on the environment, when you live through things like Sandy, and quite frankly, when you live through things like the December snowstorm in Buffalo, the blizzard, you know that things are not the same as they always were. I'm a lifelong Buffalonian. I've never seen that before. And by the way, I never want to see it again. But then I'm sure the people in Maui don't ever want to see a wildfire like that again. And I'm sure the people in Florida don't ever want to see tornadoes and hurricanes like that again. But you cannot not want to see it and don't want to invest in what the solution is. The solution is that we have to pay attention to the impact of human life on our climate. And look within your own self and figure out how you can fix that. I'm not so sure, honestly, David, that everything that's in the Climate Act that was passed is the right thing to do, but I think it's a start. And I think we have to start somewhere. And I think the other thing that we need to do that's critically important is to get past the politics of all of this and go to the doors and knock on the same doors of the people that you asked to vote for you and help them understand why we need to change the way we live in order to protect our environment. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be educating people about changing structures so that our environment is healthier and our children can have the opportunity to thrive in a country that we've all worked so hard to put together.
And it would seem to me, Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, that the two parties, at least in New York, could come together over an issue of, let's say, infrastructure, where we simply need better constructed bridges and roads and with crime-resistant materials, and that puts men and women in hard hats on the ground working. Couldn't we come together
exactly.
over that?
Absolutely. I don't see why we can't. I guess the only reason why we can't is, for, you know, there's politics. People don't want you to be successful. They don't want, you know, you to make decisions. The Governor Hochul to make decisions that will be beneficial to New Yorkers because they might like her enough to want to vote for her again. And you have to find a reason to be in opposition when I don't think we should find reasons to be in opposition. Why don't we find reasons to be on the same page? It is possible, by the way, for us to be on the same page. I just don't know how we get there, even though I'm born in a family where my dad was always Democrat, my mother was always Republican. It worked. There were disagreements, no question. There were differences of opinions, no question. But at the end of the day, we all worked together collectively as a family, and we all thrived. And so I think that can happen in our society, and I wish that we could get to the point where we would try that. By the way, I feel like I'm the friend of everybody that serves in state government. I'm not ever going to do anything wrong to them. I'm going to always do what I think is right for the constituency, not just that I directly represent, but the constituency across the state. And I would hope that they would feel the same way, that we can have these conversations. And at the end of the day, even if we disagree on the implementation of it, let us think through how we can get to the same point, maybe in a different way. Maybe they have some different strategies about how it can be done. Let's talk about that. But don't say that it's not real. It is real.
Yeah, well, and, you know, compromise could be real. That's what we're missing here, compromise. Let's take bail reform, for example. You know, you can't have people languishing in jail if they can't afford to get out. But there seems to me at least, that on some level there may be a record with someone, their dangerousness, whether they recommitted crimes, and a judge maybe should be able to have discretion. Can't both sides come together on this?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you look at the past history, judges have always had discretion, and that's how come so many people ended up in jail who couldn't afford bail, because it was under their discretion that they made that call. I don't understand why people don't think they have discretion now. By the way, if there are people who say, oh, I'm just going to keep doing this crime because they're not going to lock me up, you come before the same judge three times, two times, and you keep doing the same thing, you should go to jail. That's the judge's discretion. Use it. Don't say, oh, I can't because the law says I can't. No, that's not what the law says. If you were a repeat offender, you have violated your privilege to not have bail. You violated that. You can't take advantage of a system that's set up to be a benefit to you. By the way, you're only 1% of the people that's doing that, and the rest of the 99% people are living thriving lives because we passed bail reform. Let us allow them to keep moving forward and penalize the people who want to abuse the system.
Is there a misperception about crime? In other words, we see when you look at the crime statistics that crime across the board has basically gone down over the years. Now, we've seen an uptick in gun-related shootings, especially among young people and a lot of our inner cities. And that's another whole nother discussion about illegal guns and the gun problem in our country. But what about the perception of how bad it is out there?
Well, if you're really looking at crime statistics, not just across New York State, but across the nation, you will find that, you know, Georgia, Texas, even Florida in some instances have much higher crime than there is, say, in New York. And if you want to talk about law enforcement, there is a Republican guy running for president who's been indicted two times and about to be indicted again. He's running for president making money on the fact that he's violating the law. So you can't, on one hand, be pro-law enforcement and then on the other hand, give people a wave, a wink and a wave, because you want them to be president. That's just so oxymoron. I mean, this is why Americans are beginning not to trust government, because you can't trust what people are going to say.
That's the real issue, isn't it, Crystal People?
Yes.
Stokes, is our loss of faith in institutions. You see it all over the place. It's not just government, health care, education, all these areas, which even, you know, your own doctors, some people don't trust some of the vaccines and that kind of thing. You see, when you see that kind of lack of faith, isn't society, isn't that a warning to our society?
It's a warning that we're all headed the wrong way, and I'm prayerful and really hopeful that we'll see the error of our ways and reverse that and begin to work in the best interest of people, which is what government is supposed to do.
We're speaking.
Not in its own interest to be elected, but in the best interest of people.
Well, I know we're running out of time quickly here, but I do want to at least talk to you about cannabis, marijuana, and the problems with the rollout here in New York. You've been a big advocate for this. A lot of minority communities were hurt by it. You had special requirements in the legislation that those were hurt most by the Rockefeller drug laws would have the right to open their own dispensary to reap the reward that they were punished for. You've got now another lawsuit because of that. My goodness, it's caused problems with farmers and opening of dispensaries and a lot of people upset.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people that's upset, as well as my co-sponsor, Liz Krueger. She and I are in conversations on this regularly. In fact, we're in the process of crafting an editorial opinion so we can perhaps explain to society and the judiciary community as well, is that you can't keep listening. Well, you can listen to anybody you like to listen to, but we understand that the intent of this legislation is to do exactly what OCM has laid out. The conditional licensing for farmers, cultivators, processors, and dispensaries to give them small businesses, New Yorkers, the first crack at business. They've done that. And now it keeps being challenged. Who is it being challenged by? I would beg to differ that this last lawsuit is about disabled veterans. It is not. There were 7 disabled veterans on the list for CARD who have just received licenses that can't even open a business because somebody else wants an injunction because it should be about them first. No, it shouldn't be about them first. And by the way, I think I know who these somebody else's are. They're corporate America. They're out-of-state operators, and quite frankly, they're ROs who believe that they should be managing these businesses and not small businesses and not people of color. And every time we join a organization or group that will listen to the strategy that they have to hold things up, you're only holding it up for themselves. They're not holding it up for you.
Well, I know you got to run.
They do have enough resources to come in and take your spot in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's what they're waiting for. So I would just ask people to hold strong. You know, it took 8 years to make this happen. I wish it would have gone a lot smoother and people wouldn't have ran off the court. But they have resources to do that. And by the way, the judiciary is making a lot of decisions for the executive branches of legislative branches of government all over the country. We're duly elected. We have the ability to constitutionally write legislation that supports our constituency and to also empower OCM and the Cannabis Control Board the opportunity to set up the regulations that will implement the intent of the legislature. Anytime it gets challenged in court, it's just not fair. And judges should just clearly say that. So, but because they haven't, we'll have to continue this fight. And we will. We're not going down like this.
Speaking of fight, Labor Day this week. Is labor in a bad position in our country right now? And should there be more unions?
I don't think labor is in a bad position. I know there are a lot of challenges, but labor always prevails. There are tons of people whose families made it soundly to the middle class, including my own, because of organized labor. And so I think labor is a strong option. People should pursue it, although I'm not so sure that it necessarily benefits the cannabis industry, will be benefited by the cannabis industry, because we want to focus on small business. Organized labor is more about larger businesses. So I'm assuming they would be pleased if all of the cannabis business in the state of New York ends up with multi-state operators, because then there's a body that they can organize. A small dispensary for small farmers, cultivators, and processors, the numbers are too small for them to organize. So I believe unions are strong. I totally support them. I had a pleasure walking in our Labor Day parade, or actually riding in our Labor Day parade this past Monday. And I think we should continue to celebrate workers, because they are the backbones of this country. And I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, sometimes the people were enslaved. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, workers are the backbones of this country, and we need to always highlight and applaud them.
I'm afraid we are out of time, but I can't thank you enough. Joining us this week has been Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, a Democrat from Buffalo. She's got a lot to say, and I'm glad she's willing to talk to us about it. Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, thank you so much for joining us on the Capitol Connection.
It is my pleasure, David. I trust you have a great day. Stay safe.
You too. Support for the Capitol Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.